Morning. I had an intense moment with God this week as we had our morning prayer, and ever since then, something has been stirring. I'm not saying that this is it necessarily, but something has been stirring in me. And certainly I had something I thought was okay today for today's service, and I thought God was all over it. And certainly as I began to pray there in the front row, God said, "Yeah, but that's not what I want." So we're going to let God have his way. Is that okay, church?
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so I tell you what, we're going to pray in just a minute. We're going to go into Acts chapter 3. But I want to tell you today that God gives us a message that is a hope that that we can't get from anywhere else. We talked a couple weeks ago about asking and seeking and receiving, knocking and receiving from God. And certainly this story depicts that in the first part of the chapter 3 of Acts. But my intention this morning is not to draw attention to the man, but to draw attention to God. So let's begin by standing, and we're going to read the Word of God today. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, Peter said, "Look on us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I do not have, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Let's pray. Father, yes. There is great victory in this scripture this morning. God, we give it to you. We surrender this time to you and to the speaking you want to do to our hearts today. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Put myself back together here. Now you can turn me down a little bit. I was dangling there. There was a man who was lame. And you know, there's a great physical story that comes in with the lame man laid at the gate, Beautiful. But there's a greater spiritual story that I want to lay on you today, that Lord laid on me as well. I was here waiting for the service to get to the part of the word, and God laid on my heart. He said, there are some in this place that are like the lame man today, and they've been laid at the gate Beautiful every day. There are people in this place today who have no one else to help them but those around them to get to the place where they can experience help at the house of God. And maybe you're here today and you've had a difficult time with what life has given you and the hand that life has dealt you, and you feel like there's no place else to go and you depend upon other people for your strength. God would say to you today, today is the day that you rise up and walk. Today is the day, now is the time for God to minister and to begin healing so that you can walk without others helping you. This man was laying at the gate every day. Somebody was faithful to lay him at the gate. And I believe that there are people in this church who are intercessors for those in this body who are suffering, who don't have the strength on their own, those that daily are faithful to bring them before the Lord. Maybe you have a family member that is not serving God, whose life is not right with him, and you've been faithful every day to bring him to the house of God and say, "God, I'm bringing once again this loved one, this person to you." Maybe it's somebody who needs a physical healing who has suffered a long time. And today is the day that that man is going to be laid at the gate the last time. And we see in Scripture that there was a final day for that man. When was that day going to happen? We aren't told in our lives when that last day is, but I'll tell you, the hardest time to trust God is the day before the miracle. Because we've lasted so long with God, we prayed so long and so faithfully with God on our in our hearts, and certainly trying to be led by the Spirit as we pray. Yet God says, "Will you take one more day? Will you bring one more day? Will you last one more day?" And the final day comes, and we receive the miracle that we know God meant for us. That man had no idea when he went to the gate that day that he would not leave the same way he came. And I guarantee you that there was witness to the fact that this man was a different man. Peter and John went to the temple, as was customary, and I bet they had no idea that this portion of Scripture was going to be written about them, because something incredible happened that day. It was the very first miracle recorded in the early church. And there were going to be hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and even millions of miracles that were going to happen in the church age that we live in today through this day that were going to happen after that first miracle. And there are some keys in this that the Lord is bringing to my mind that we need to remember if we're going to expect a miracle. One thing I want you to know is this man was lame from the time he was born. He had never experienced victory. He had never experienced freedom. He had never experienced a life on his own without others helping him wherever he went. And sometimes in our Christian walk, we get to the point, we say, I have never been strong enough on my own. And certainly Michelle had no idea I was going to preach on this. And I didn't even have any idea I was going to preach on this. But what God is doing is preparing us for a day when things won't be as easy and we won't be able to depend on somebody else. We're going to have to stand on our own, and we're going to have to stand in strength. We're going to have to stand in confidence and in courage and allow God to take the reins of our life and say, today is the day that you walk with me. Today is the day that you get up and that you have freedom. Today is the day that you receive the strength that you've never had before. And there are people, even in this place maybe, that you've been in a place in your life, you say, you know what, it's all been a fuzz for me. It's all been a vague for me and a fog for me, and I can't seem to get any clarity, any vision, any strength, any courage. Today is the day. Now is the time that God wants for you to have the miraculous. Wow. And God wants to do this because He loves you. God wants to give you this new miracle, this new thing, because He loves you. And He doesn't want you to leave the same way that you came this morning. He wants you to leave differently. If there are things that you've been pondering in your heart that have brought sorrow or question, they brought concern or they've grieved you, and I'll tell you that God is grieved this morning. He's grieved with those that face these problems alone and they don't ask Him for help. Or they ask Him for help and they want to help Him with it. And He says, today is the day that I am the one that gives you strength. Not you, not your prayers, not the prayers of others, but I'm the one that gives you strength. No one else. The miracle comes from the giver, not from the gift. We may experience the gifts of healing here in our church. We may experience people being healed at our altars. But I'll tell you, it's never about the altar that heals people. It's about the giver who brings us to the altar that brings the healing. It's about the giver who brings us to the altar on our knees and we repent of the sin in our lives. It's the giver who brings us to the altar to receive the miraculous that we can't have on our own. And today is the day, now is the time, and don't let this opportunity pass without the Holy Spirit changing you and making you different. Today is the day. I love the fact that this man was laid at the gate. Peter and John came. And the man never once even felt like he could look up at Peter and John. In fact, he was so humble and so broken. People that don't have Jesus are broken people. People who don't experience the power of God are broken in their spirit, and they need to be mended by the power of God. And this man was no different. His body was broken, and he couldn't even look up at Peter and John. Why? Because Peter had to say to him, "Look on us." The man's eyes weren't on Peter and John as they passed in front of him at the Gate Beautiful, as they made their way to the temple. His eyes weren't on the ones who could give the miracle. His eyes were on his circumstances. And maybe he was looking at his legs and wondering why God would ever bring him to this earth to never be able to walk, to never have the freedom or joy of having walking and leaping and praising God as we see in this scripture. Why would God do that? Why would he do that? Why would he give me a life where there's such torment, where there's such anguish, there's such sorrow, and there's such pain? It's because of a day as this. Yes. This lame man had no idea. And Peter and John had no idea. But the moment that Peter and John got there, the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter. And Peter said to him, "Look on us." Yes. And God is saying to you today, "Look on me." Get your eyes off of the circumstances in your life. Get your eyes off of yourself and all the things that you want in this life. And put your eyes on me. Get your eyes on me. Forget what people have said to you. Forget what people have told you, how worthless you are, that you'll never have this thing. Because Jesus says today, "Look on me and you will receive." Amen. Thank you. Look on me and you will receive. That man could have not engaged Peter and John. He could have looked down and he would have missed out on the blessing that Peter had for him through Jesus Christ. But he was obedient to look up. Let me ask you this question. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with something, when is it enough? When is it enough? How long will you continue to look at what's going on around you and leave it behind and look up to the giver of your miracle today? Hasn't it been enough? Hasn't there been enough pain? Hasn't there been enough torture and torment? Hasn't there been enough anguish? Hasn't there been enough indecision? And you know, sometimes we get so lost in our own thought process that we think God right out of it. We're so smart, we think God right out of what's happening in our life. And God says, "If you left me there, I would have helped you." And I think of nothing better than to be the one interceding for someone day after day is the day I never have to intercede for them again.
Amen. That's right.
The people that brought that lame man were out of a job. Weren't they? They became unemployed that day. I would love it if there were things in my heart that God has had me pray over for days and months and sometimes even years, that God would say, "You don't have to pray for that anymore. I took care of it. And they're walking because of me." Today's the day God wants to set you free. Today's the day he wants the miraculous to happen in your life. Today's the day he wants the supernatural to occur in your life. All you have to do is look up. As the man looked at Peter and John, he looked up at them thinking he was going to get something of monetary value. And we oftentimes sell God short and we only ask God for the things we think we need, the things we think he wants to give us. But God says, "I want to give you abundantly, exceedingly more than you can ask or think." This guy was looking for a little bit of money. God was looking to heal him. And the two finally came together. If maybe you've been praying over something and God hasn't given it to you, maybe you need to change the way you're praying. Maybe you need to change your language before God. Maybe you need to say, "Well, God, I always thought that you wanted to give me this thing, but clearly you're not answering my prayer. What is it you want me to pray for? What is it you want me to believe for? Give me the faith in my heart to believe for what you want me to have." For some of us, like I said before, maybe a loved one that's fallen away from Christ, or maybe never knew Jesus Christ, and you're anguished and you're grieved in your heart today because they've never accepted that fullness of salvation. They've never accepted the life-changing walk of walking with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I want you to ask for more. I want you to believe for more. I want you to believe for just more than their salvation, but for the course and the purpose I have for them. I want you to pray that I will set them free. I want you to pray that I'll make them walk with me. Peter and John were very plain with the man, and Peter said, I don't have what you need or what you think you need. I don't have it. Sometimes when people ask me to pray for them, I get the sense from God saying, well, that's really not what they really need. This is what they need instead. And maybe you've been at this altar and I prayed for you. And I'd say, I'd love to pray for your healing right now, but God says there's something else we need to believe for and pray for first. Has that happened to any of you here? Because I know that God has done that. We think we come for one thing, and God says, that's not exactly what I wanted to do. This man thought he was going to get sustenance for a day or two or three. Jesus was going to, through the power of him through Peter, was going to set him free for a lifetime. He didn't even have a clue. But when he looked up, he knew he was going to receive something. And sometimes that's all we can do is look up. Sometimes that's all we can do. That's all we can muster. That's all we can put our mind and our heart to is to look up. But when we look up, we see Jesus waiting to meet our need. We see the miracle on the cusp of happening. Today is the day. Now is the time. So Peter said unto him, and I'm quoting it from the King James because that's what I learned my whole life. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Wise up and walk. I don't have what you think you need. I have what you really need. In the name of Jesus, rise up. Church, today, don't settle for second best with God. Ask for the most you can from Him and watch Him set you free. Don't settle for what you think you need. Ask God for what He knows you need and He will give it to you. But you have to look to Him. What happened? Let's continue reading the story in chapter 3 of the book of Acts. And he took him by the right hand, verse 7. Took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. He got nuts. He got crazy, he got wild. Why? Because Jesus did something that he needed and he couldn't get from anybody else. Yes, Lord. Yes. So he went walking and leaping. Church, he went leaping. Yes. Hallelujah. Michael Jordan has never seen air like that man has done. And he went in praising God. Why? Because that's all he could do. His hands were flailing and he was praising God. Why? Because he was set free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Oh, somebody got touched in the back room there. I can hear it. Hallelujah. Church, it's a day to get excited. Yes. Not because we have problems, but because there's one who wants to perform a miracle in your life. Yes. And he's looking for the opportunity to be strong in you. He's looking for the opportunity to be victorious in your life. And he wants to do the miraculous and the supernatural in your life if you'll just let him. Imagine the eyes of Peter and John. Oh, it worked. And they were walking and leaping and praising God in the temple. Why? Because that's all the more they could do. And here was this crazy bunch of people going into the temple. Why? Because a man who had never walked before was going into the temple. You know, Delphine came out of a wheelchair. God healed her supernaturally. And she would be the first one to tell you it took some time to get your legs back. She couldn't just get up and start walking and leaping. It took time for her to get her legs back so she could start walking again. This man, he totally circumvented all of that, and God zapped him with power and balance. He had never walked before. How did he know what it was like? But by the power of God, he was walking, and he was leaping, and he was praising God. And that's what God wants for you today. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to leap into his presence. And he wants you there to praise him. In my experience this week with God, I found myself wanting to fall at the altar and I could not. Something was holding me up. I wanted to fall at my knees and fall on my face before God. And God said, no, that's not what I want for you. I want you to stand before me. And I remember thinking, I can't even fall when I want to. What's wrong with me? But God was wrecking me and he was changing me. And he was putting something in my heart that I know this is just the cusp, just the outward edge, just the shell of what he's put in here that God is going to allow us to experience as a body if we put our trust in him, if we put our dedication to him, if we commit ourselves to him and say, today is the day, now is the time, God, give us more. And I found myself at the altar right here, standing here saying, God, I want more. And I was getting so much from God, I couldn't even cry out. I couldn't even speak out. I couldn't even pray. But in my heart, there was a yearning. And I remember that song that we sing. I want to sit at your feet. Drink from the cup that's in your hand. I want to lay against you and breathe and feel your heart beat. I thought, God, that's my heart's yearning. That's my heart's yearning. And as I said, a chorus was playing through my head and through my heart. God began to touch me and his hand began to fill me. And I began to feel him come through me. And he began to overpower me. And he began to have his way at that time early in the morning. Before the sun was even up, I was more than up and ready to go. Because Jesus Christ had done something special for me. And it's not just for me. It's for everyone who looks up. Will you look up with me today? Will you look up with me? Will you look up and see what God has for you? Sitting in your own wallow of your own circumstances and situations isn't going to get you anywhere, but allowing God to minister through you and allowing yourself to look up to him to forget everything behind you is the chance that you have to take to have God do that miraculous, that supernatural, that one-of-a-kind thing in your life, and he wants to do so today. He doesn't want you to wait another day. When it happens, when God does something in you that you have never had before, there are going to be people around you who are going to notice that you're different. I've often thought I should spend the money and buy about 150 t-shirts, have everybody wear t-shirts that says, Odd for God. Because that's what God turns you into. First Peter says we're a royal priesthood. A holy nation, a peculiar people. Do you know anybody peculiar today? Right here. Don't be looking no place else but up at the altar. Why? Because I am peculiar. I'm odd for God. I'm part of God's odd squad. And I will gladly be identified with Jesus Christ for the things I know that he wants to give me and for the way that he wants to use me and for what I have to offer through him to the world around me. Will you? Will you? Will you at your workplace? Will you at home? Will you at school for you young people? Will you be odd for God today and let people laugh at you because of who lives within you? Because I'll tell you something. They won't be laughing when they feel your Christ's power through you. They may sense that power, but it's not going to make them laugh. It's going to make them yearn for what you have. Is that you today? If you're in college, what a tremendous opportunity to spread the word of God and to allow God to work through you. But I'll tell you something. You need to have that experience with Him. You need to have that mind-bending, that body-submitting, that will-surrendering experience with Jesus Christ. Many of you probably know who Keith Green is. He was a music artist back in the 80s. I thought taken way too soon, but God must have decided that his journey was over, his ministry was over. And he was, I'm not going to try and quote the lyrics of his songs, I couldn't do it accurately today, but one of the things I know was pervasive in his music was this: don't say you're Christian, start acting like it. Don't say you're a believer, start acting like it. Don't let people wonder what you believe, show them what you believe. And let your speech, your conduct, let it portray the one who lives within you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And one day the things formed against you will not prosper. One day the things that are formed against you will not have any success, because greater is he that's in you. And today God wants to reveal to you, he wants to show to you his might, his power, his love, his grace, his mercy, his holiness, his righteousness, his justice, his truth. And he wants to do it especially for you and in your own way and not like for anybody else. Because you know what? You're a special person to him. That man spent a lifetime at the altar, at the house of God. But it wasn't until the day he looked up that he got the miracle he needed. I can confess to you that there are times in my life that I've had a hard time looking up. But I want to strive in my heart to look up to him in a way that I've never looked up to him before, to surrender to him like I've never surrendered before, to live for him like I've never lived for him before. I think God's going to call us to that kind of relationship in the future. Why? Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And where the darkness of this world is, the light of Jesus is even brighter in our lives. I'm afraid somebody might call you names. Somebody might talk behind your back. Did you hear what happened to that guy or that gal? They got nuts. I don't know what happened to them. They're crazy. But you don't think they said the same thing about John the Baptist when he came out wearing camel's hair and a leather belt? That guy's nuts. He's got a demon. No, he had the power and the call of God on his life. And he stood out. I want you to bow your heads just for a minute this morning. We're going to close real quick here in just a moment, but I'm going to ask you this today. Understanding this story ends in the last verse. And I'm going to read it to you because your eyes are closed. Verse number 10 says this: "Then they knew that it was he who had sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And when they were filled with wonder and amazement," at what had happened to him. You see, when God touches you, when God does the miraculous in you, when God gives you something that you can't get on your own, and the power and the grace of God overflow and overwhelm you, people will know something has happened and they will be amazed. You can't have one without the other. You can't have the call of God, the power of God in life without somebody else noticing something's different about you. So let me ask you this. It's great to want that from God. It's great to want that from him. But are you ready to count the cost of that? Are you ready to count the cost of the power of God in your life? Are you ready to count the cost of his Spirit alive in you? And Jesus is so merciful, and he's so much more patient than anybody else is. He says, "I'll wait till you count the cost and know that it's ready." But he implores you today, let today be the day, let now be the time that you make that decision to live for me like you've never lived for me before. You know who hangs in the balance? Those around us. those around us. I have no idea what God's going to call you to do in this world. I have no idea the people that you'll influence for Him. I have no idea the ministry He's put in your heart to accomplish for Him. But one thing I do know for sure, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yeah.